Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel. And today we're going to be looking at Phasmophobia and other games.
Spooky.
That's right, I have a goddamn PC now, and I'm using it to play some goddamn PC games.
Hell yes. The cutting edge, a horror game made using, and I know this from a video game or a friend who's studying video game development, Phasmophobia only uses stock models, and I think that's great.
It's made on the Unity game engine, which is... The same engine that runs Superhot.
There you go. There you go, baby.
So, yeah, it's cutting edge. I'm on the edge.
It's true. Yeah.
You're on. Absolutely. You've got that finger on the pulse of the edge of society.
Yeah, I got two fingers in the edge.
You got
of
two
gaming.
Fingers deep in society, and you're feeling that heartbeat. Yeah. And there you are. Playing Phasmorgasm or whatever it is.
Phasmophobia.
That's what I said.
Ghostgasm. Yeah, baby. That's it.
All right, so how many ghosts you bring to Gasm?
Yeah.
Okay, so the concept of the game, for anyone who hasn't heard it, first of all, made up words, so okay. If you don't know what I'm talking about already, you're going to be like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, and I'm here to be like, don't worry, here's the answer. Okay.
Apparently Phasmophobia is like it's like legitimately the fear of ghosts, which I think is funny. Who doesn't have that? Who's
Jackson
not afraid of ghosts?
Like, derailed my review. I'm pretty upset about that.
But shouldn't you automatically have a phobia of, like, if
I'm scared of ghosts.
I don't have a fear of ghosts, but if I saw a ghost, I think I'd be scared. Kind of like a fear of spiders. I don't really have a fear of spiders, but if I saw one leaping at me, I'd be scared.
Exactly. Ghosts are like lions. Yeah. It's bad to be up close to one.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, Dusha, carry on. What are you saying?
Maybe a made-up word. Maybe it means fear of ghosts. Autocorrect in my phone seems to suggest that it's made up. Because big fat red line comes underneath it. Yeah. But also, having a fear of ghosts, dictionary probably not going to respect or acknowledge that.
That's true. Dictionaries great don't point. Like to acknowledge the existence of ghosts.
if you type in supernatural, they're like, not a thing.
This is a respectable publication. Sorry. We're not talking about ghosts or ghouls.
No.
Or fairies. No, thank you.
Only things we know about, dogs and lions and the occasional cat.
Exactly.
We know heaps about dogs and lions, though. Yeah. Every type of dog breed, it's in this book. Yep. Ghosts, though? What are you saying?
What are you saying? Are you a child?
So the concept of the game is that you're in a team of up to four people. I haven't played it by myself. I've only played it in a group online, something that PC gamers frequently do. I know this now, as I am a PC gamer.
You're in, dude.
Yeah, I'm in. And you are put onto a location that you select. You get some information about a ghost that's there, and you've got to look for signs of the ghost's activity and use that information to determine what type of ghost it is. In the game, it is not your job to fight the ghost. You have no weapons. You are just there to research and to piss and shit in your pants.
Okay.
It's one of the genuinely scariest games I've ever played. And it's way worse alone. Because if you're with friends, you're always like able to radio each other. And also there's a bit of like a bumbling Three Stoogesness about it where you're all like, ooh, like walking through the house, shining flashlights everywhere. But if you're by yourself, like some of the later levels, and today we played the Asylum, which is gargantuan as a level.
Yep. Huge, like, and echoey.
Yeah, oh, which is so bad. The echo sucks. But like,
I'll get
when you're
to why
really
an echo sucks in a second. Mm. But that's important because the game has a few unique elements that make what would just be like a bit of a spooky game to a nightmare game. Jackson, absolutely. What were you about to say?
I was just going to say, like, when you're with a group and you're deep in the asylum, it's kind of okay because you're like, I'll swing my torch around, I'll see someone else. But if I was deep in that asylum and it like takes ages to get back to the truck where all of your equipment is, if I was deep in there and like a light went out, I'd shit myself. Like, I would be so scared. I'm so isolated. I don't know. Yeah. But when you've got friends, it's not quite as bad. It's still scary, but not quite as bad.
Yeah, the game has a built-in directional mic. Like, the game is set up for directional microphones. So when you walk into a level, you and your friends, you can turn on a setting so that, like, when you're talking into the microphone, it's just playing into the game straight away. But as your characters get further apart, the audio gets quieter, like, because they're further away. You have a radio, which you can talk through, and then they hear you all the time. But it means things like, if a room like an asylum has an echo, people can sound further away or much closer than they actually are. And ghosts can make noises too. So an echoey room, you might get like a, ooh, and you'd be like, what was that? I don't know.
Hello? Is anyone there?
Are you a ghost?
And like, so like the way it works is you've got like all this equipment and you need to get like three pieces of evidence using that equipment to figure out what kind of ghost it is, and then you can hightail it out of there. But they've made sure that all of those pieces of equipment are the most spooky thing in the world. Like, one of them is called a spirit box, which you turn on and it has this awful static, and you've got to ask it questions to hear it say things like, gold, kill, kill. Sometimes it just says, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, Dusha, but sometimes
I've
it
never
says,
touched a spirit box.
Kill, kill, murder, murder. You don't want that. You know what? I would cry. I'd take my. You'd need to be a quick cut, star wipe to me throwing my computer in the bin. Thanks, but no thanks, Phasmophobia. I'm good.
There's just like a couple of little touches in the game. So, yeah, there's lots of different types of ghosts, and these ghosts act differently depending on what type they are, which obviously is your job to solve it. But it means that when you walk into a new location, you don't know what you're dealing with, and every ghost is triggered or upset by different things. So, like, some, for instance, will attack you if you're by yourself. Others don't care and will attack you in a big group. Saying its name sometimes makes it scared. Most of the time makes it angry. The game has voice recognition, so you've got the ghost's name before you get there. So you basically have to, like, to find evidence, upset the ghost a little bit, but not enough that it kills you. It's a fine line.
Sure.
Kind of like poking a beehive with a stick, you know? You got to be a certain level of distance or else they'll sting you, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like if you wanted to get one bee out of a beehive. Yeah. You still got to poke it. But if you poke it too hard, all of a
That's
sudden
all
you're at war with bees.
What mad situation do you need one bee? I really need a bee. You know, give me a second, guys. This is the only way I can think to do it. It's very funny. So I played Phasmophobia with a bunch of friends, like just off, not offline, but just, you know, whatever, separately, because we've been streaming it on our Twitch channels. And playing it with those friends is like, they're like, right, okay, you'll go camera person. Jackson, you'll go crucifix person. I'll grab the this, I'll grab the that. But when it's the four of us, like me, Dusha, friends of the show, Adam and Ethan, it's just chaos. Nobody takes any assigned roles. Everybody goes in. We find out what equipment we have when we're in there being attacked by the ghost. That's when we're like, okay, who has the camera? No one? It's sitting in the van? Great. Perfect.
So the level, you start in a van, which is the only place in the map where you're safe. That van has security cameras wired into the location, and depending on where you are, means more cameras or less cameras. So a suburban house may have a camera just on the front doorstep that's just aimed at the front door. Not helpful. A school or an asylum has security systems, but that makes it scarier because there's lots of cameras that you have to flick between. You get stuff like an activity reading, so people could be in the building just exploring, having a bumbling time with their friends, being like, oh, I wonder what ghost it is today. I'm just having a nice time. And then someone in the van would be like, guys, so it's out of 10. Like, guys, wherever you are, it's like a level 8. And you're like, oh, no. Mamma mia.
Something I really like about Phasmophobia is that it's like a game where you don't really know the rules. You know what I mean? And I think that makes it so good. Like, I don't know everything a ghost can do. And I've not seen all the different kinds of ghosts. Like, I've seen ghosts slowly creak open doors. I've seen a ghost knock over a can. But, like, I don't know if that's... Is that the extent of what they're capable of? Flickering lights? Yeah. You know what I mean?
One thing that makes this game, like I think adds to the scariness is there is a little bit of jank to it. Like, ghosts and stuff like that. And even your characters can, like, kind of clip through things. The game talks about things a lot, but you don't necessarily see them. So, like, there's a lot of talk of ghosts throwing objects at you. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
There's a sanity percentage, which starts at 100, and the more you see the ghost, it drops. When you get to 0, you don't die. But I don't know what that means.
I know once we were playing Doucher and you saw a guy in the mirror and you were like, here he is. And we were like, but that wasn't the ghost. And we don't know what that was.
No. Well, because the mirrors don't work properly. The mirrors don't work properly. And like when you look in a mirror on some levels, it's just kind of like almost like a screenshot of the game taken from the mirror. If that makes sense. So you like your character will be in the frame, but kind of like frozen in a pose. And if you move, it doesn't move with you.
Just like how mirrors work in real life. Yeah,
exactly. If you're haunted, capture you for a moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, I looked in the mirror and there was a guy just standing in the doorway behind me. And I was like,
just like in real life. Yeah. That's mirrors. Yeah, I know, dude.
But then no one else could see it.
That's less than ideal. Cool. All right. I like, so like another thing is after a certain period of time, the ghost will start hunting you and it can get you and kill you. But you can buy a crucifix, which they say if you place on the ground will protect you. But it seems sort of random whether it'll work or not. And the amount of times I remember once we were playing in the school level, the ghost was hunting me. I ran to the front door, which was locked, so I couldn't get out, dropped the crucifix down on the ground. I was like, I should be safe, died.
Yeah,
other times, do it, fine. And that adds, if it worked all the time, you'd just be able to like power your way through. So it's kind of good that it's got that jank, I think.
One thing, like this is like very much an indie game. It's one of those like kind of almost like party games. It's getting massive right now. One thing I'd recommend is go in and don't look anything up because I have played for maybe like 5 or 6 hours and I haven't been killed. So I don't know what happens when I die, and that makes it scary because I don't know what to expect. Also, I still don't know how you die. I've seen one character die on screen, but it was like kind of out of the corner of my eye, and I don't know if what I saw was due to a graphical glitch because the character's neck broke.
But
I don't know if that was just... They were running away from the ghost at the same time as me, but the ghost followed them. And, as I looked, their head was twisted around. But
yeah, it's so hard
to
tell.
They were, like, kind of hiding in the corner of a room, so it could have easily just been clipped into the doorframe or something.
Yeah.
It's scary.
The worst thing is when you're on radio and you're like, right, Adam, come in. Adam, where are you? And there's just, like, that beat, and everyone's like, uh-huh, Adam? You're like, oh, God. He's dead in there somewhere.
The first time I played the game, Jackson was... We were playing in a school, which was very big, and I hadn't played the game before, so it was a massive level, and I had no idea what to expect and was just hearing noises. And then we're talking to Jackson, and then he stopped replying for a moment. Then he started replying, and then we're like, Jackson? Jackson? He's not replying again. And then we're like, nah, give it a second. And we're like, Jackson? Then we went back to the van, and just on the security camera, we could just see his dead body. Like, oh, no.
He's gone.
So how does that work in terms of like when you're talking to each other over mics or something like that? Is it heavily role playing or is it what do you
So well you mute yourself if you're on like Discord or something, you mute that and then like if I'm deep in the asylum, I can't hear unless it's on the radio where you press B and it's like makes a little noise and you're talking the radio. Like I can't hear what Douche is saying. I mean, you kind of can faintly maybe if you're close, but I reckon if I was in the bottom level of the asylum miles away from the truck, I would not be able to hear anybody. So it's kind of real directional.
We got very confident in a level, and this might answer your question a little bit as well. Mm. We got very confident in a level. So me and Jackson, we were struggling to find the ghost, but in a small level. And it was all four of us. So me and Jackson marched into the lounge room. And we were just yelling obscenities at the ghost, yelling its name and yelling.
Cussing, like cussing up a storm. Yeah.
Okay. Cussing up a storm. And Adam, who was streaming at the time, just walked into the room and just heard us slowly fade in of being like, I'm going to kill you, ghost.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So even though you're on like on the same Discord or in a Zoom call or like I'm just trying to understand the logistics of it as someone who isn't a PC gamer and
so
that, you're
a Mac gamer, so there's only like four games.
So you just you could not be on Discord. You could be on in-game audio only. And it just
So when you start the game, it takes you to the option straight off the bat and is like we very heavily recommend headphones.
Yeah.
And look, if you've got noise-canceling headphones, they're ideal for this situation. Because you can't hear anything except the game. And the game's, like, coming in one ear, and you're hearing footsteps out of the other, and you're just pissing and shitting and pissing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't so much. Yep. But yeah, also a microphone. So the moment you select your microphone, the moment you join a game, audio is just immediately enabled. There is a setting where there's, like, push to talk. So I guess if you're having an argument with your wife and you don't want your gamer friends to hear, turn that on. But Yeah,
only push for your side of the argument, so they think you're
Jeremy. Jeremy, the ghost is getting angry by you and your wife's arguing.
Stop
Jeremy.
Arguing! You're breaking the game.
Oh my god! Fix your marriage in your own time, Jeremy. It's the
this is gamer,
gamer
time,
Jeremy.
Yeah,
Jeremy. Don't wreck gamer time with the lads.
Weirdly, though, and I don't know, maybe this makes more sense when you're playing in a public server. Because again, we've only ever played with our friends, but there is public servers.
Yeah.
Having push to talk on is, I guess, good because then you can't upset or make too much noise with strangers.
Yeah, true.
But that's a default option. But I would recommend immediately turning it off because constantly being able to hear people, or like if someone gets scared and they're sitting close to their microphone or using like a built-in microphone with headphones, you'll hear them breathe heavily and you can tell they're frightened. And that's funny.
Yeah, there's like a powerful fear that comes when it's secondhand. Like if you're in one room of a house, like you're upstairs and downstairs you hear people being like, ha, ha, ha. You're like, oh my God, it's getting them. It's getting them. I'm going to come down the stairs and see a bunch of corpses. Oh my Lord.
It's really fun. It's the type of game that I would only recommend as a multiplayer game.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of has a similar feel to, like, a Payday. It's, like, more Payday and less Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
It's not a game that I would recommend playing by yourself. I don't think it would be that fun. It's scary,
but because of, like, it just becomes work at a certain point.
Yeah.
And you get these two, and I guess maybe this is what they're intending. I don't know, but you're like, I got to figure out what kind of ghost it is. I'm just slowly walking through a house. If I get scared, I'm getting scared myself. There's no I don't know.
You don't quite get the same comes feedback. Over my radio, that's a ghost immediately. It's not like my friend trying to talk to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, if you want to check it out, it's really popular on Twitch at the moment. There's lots and lots of game streamers, but it also is not that expensive. I think it was like $20 or $25 game.
I think something I wish that they would add is, like, and I think this is something they're thinking of adding as well, is like little things to spook you that aren't like full on the ghost appearing.
The ghost?
Yeah, like I would love, like a lot of the house levels have a basement and it's always scary going down the stairs into a dark basement. But I would love to be able to go down there, turn on the light, get deep into the basement, have the light turn off and hear the door slam at the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
That'd make me shit myself. But there's sort of nothing like that, you know?
Yeah, there's a few little things. So, like, the stairs creak really loudly sometimes, and that seems to be kind of random. But, yeah, you're right. Or even just, like, at a house, having, like, the home telephone ring.
Yeah,
just, like,
absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Which I think it can, but it's not very common. And if it does happen, I think what the difference is that when it does happen, you're like, the ghost is in this room. And all of a sudden, you're like, gamer brain clicks on and you're like, time to do the things to beat the game. You want it to just be the like, I don't know, you're walking around, you hear a whisper in your ear that no one else can hear. And you turn around and you're like, who said that? And it's like, oh, nobody said anything or stuff like that.
Yeah. Or even like a location like, this is very much a type of game, and it's not early access, but it kind of feels like it at points, and it definitely is the type of game.
I guess it is an early access. Sorry, I'm just looking at it now on the Steam store. It is early access.
Well, that makes sense, because it feels very much like a game that has a roadmap.
Oh, it does. I think the things that are coming are a prison level, which sounds truly awful. No. A mansion level, which I think is great. That's shocking good. That's not in the base game. An apartment complex, which I think is very scary sounding. Mm. That'd be huge as well, because that's like, what, 8 floors or something?
Yeah.
And then also night vision goggles and an SRS camera. I don't know what an SRS camera is, but they say that that's coming. As well as like minor stuff like screams that you can hear in the building. The ability, something that I think would be really great, and I'm glad they're adding it, is the ability to, when you're walking to the building, see somebody in like the top floor, like see them looking down at you or whatever.
Waiting for you.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I think there's a lot to come from this, and it's so popular that you reckon they'll get there.
It is a spooky game. I'm interested to see what happens, because like I said, I haven't died yet. I've heard about what happens when you die, but I wonder if, like, once that happens, if the edge of the game will be taken off me. That being said, the last time I played it, we were just, like, messing around the whole time, and I was yelling at the ghost and not scared. But then we played another level, and I immediately got stuck without a torch and separated from the group, and I couldn't find my way around the level, and I started getting haunted by myself. And I was like, guys, please come and find me.
Yeah,
I was like, absolutely. I'm scared now again. I thought I was braver.
Was that when you were in the top of the farmhouse and I was looking at you from the truck and you were just like at the window, like, help me.
Yeah.
Jackson, like, I would see you in the truck and wave and you'd be like, come get me.
Well, Jackson, you took my torch and then you abandoned me. And then I was like, I don't know my way around this level. And you were like, yeah, it's fine. And then you tried to come back in and you're like, oh, the ghost is near you. I'm scared. And I was like, Jackson!
Was that the same
I'm
level?
Scared of.
I think in the asylum, the ghost, because when the ghost haunts you, often it'll lock the front door. And in the asylum, just as I was coming back to the asylum, everybody got haunted and hunted. And so I could see the ghost from the other side of the door as it was attacking Adam and Ethan. Oh, that was scary. And I'm like trying to pull it open, but it's locked. Oh my God. It's very
spooky.
Good.
Spooky game.
It's a spooky time.
Yeah, it's probably like a solid 4-thumb experience. Like I said, can't give it 5 because I don't know how the longevity would be. But the microphone thing and yelling at the ghost to suck off a horse or whatever is probably going to keep the game fun for a while.
That's absolutely. Fair. Again, like real ghost hunters.
Yeah, exactly.
You can literally walk in and be like, hey, Harry David, that's the name of the ghost in this situation. How about you come here and suck off this dog? I'll kill you.
Yeah. And the ghost might be like, hey, what did you say? What did you say to me? I think as well,
this dog's tail. Do it, coward.
There's also like a massive list online of things you can say to a ghost and stuff that'll make the ghost angry. I know if you say Bloody Mary into a mirror, that can aggravate it. There's like a bunch of stuff like that, which is cool.
That's cool.
Sick game. It is still very janky at points, but hey, for $20,
exactly,
it's innovative enough that you're like, oh yeah, yeah. And hey, if you've got other gamers out there, for like $60, you can have 3 copies of the game.
You can have a good time.
Be scared for a couple of hours between 3 friends, and maybe that's money well spent.
And if you don't want to buy it yourself, you can watch me and Dusha play it.
Yeah,
twitch.tv/JacksonBailey and twitch.tv/DushaForever. Yes, I said DV, but it's TV. twitch.dvd.DushaForever.
Only on Blu-ray and HD DVD.
It's the way I wanted. Only HD heads in my comments.
I know.
The game's legitimately fun.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to playing it some more.
Okay.
Likewise.
Zammit, what have you been playing?
Well,
is it Baldur's Gate 3 again?
No. Yes.
Are you sure?
What? Yeah, well, I have been. Well, of course I've been playing. I mean, okay. Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
My world was turned upside down for a second.
So, what a great game.
Jackson, just quickly. Been, I think, 8 days since we recorded our last thumbcrunch.
Oh, I'm scared.
And how much you've done?
Is it the point of genuine worry, Dusha?
So it was 17 hours last time we checked in.
Yeah.
It is now 40.
Oh my God. How many hours before we have an intervention? That's the question.
Yeah, hey, great question.
Look.
In my checking my Steam tomes to find out how long Zammit has been playing Baldur's Gate. I did just see that Adam is also playing Age of Empires 2, a game that I stream. So I can only imagine that he's practicing.
He's getting good.
That makes things stressful.
Yeah, you should see him. I saw him. He was capturing sheep and all kinds of biz.
Oh, my God.
No, if he's doing that means he's learnt.
Yeah. Don't worry, Dusha. I promise to never learn how Age of Empires works.
Thank you. That's
I'll always be conquerable for you.
I've been playing a game. It's on the Apple Arcade. It's Game of Thrones, Tale of Crows.
So, as is Game of Thrones tradition, you've said Game of Thrones, my brain's just gone smooth.
That's fair.
words are going to go in one ear, come out the other, and I'll be like, Daenerys?
I'll keep it simple. I'll keep it.
John?
No, none of this. It's set well and truly before the Game of Thrones series.
So, winter isn't coming yet.
Dusha, you asked a comp... You've asked a question. Oh, no. I can give you the answer, but you're not going to be happy.
Check out, Dusha. Okay? Please, no.
Okay?
I need an
because
ejector
this
button,
is going
Steve.
To. It's all ejector about. It's all about the watch. So all about the crows. You know, the people.
The
night watch
are those guys that John. I almost said John C. Reilly for some reason.
Close enough.
John Snow.
Yes. Him.
John Snow when he died or before? No, he gets killed by the watch. Betrayed by the watch.
Because
I'm spoiling
he's
Game
the...
of Thrones. The king of the true Daenerys' brother. They have sex, and that's bad.
Yeah, they're not brother. They're cousin. No, aunt and nephew.
Look, he did shockingly good, to be honest.
He did really well. Like, not going to lie. But no, it's because, like, again, winter is always coming, and this is sort of set about, like, the night of,
yeah,
because
he's a Targaryen or whatever. That's why they kill him, right?
No.
Stop trying.
Why do they kill him?
Call it now. Pull the pin, Dusha.
So the Lord Commander of the Night Watch is meant to be basically a political. They don't go to war with anybody. And so Ramsay Bolton, who has been overtook the House Stark and Winterfell, basically was just like, I've done this, sent the pink letter to Jon Snow and was like, hey, idiot, give me back my, I think, Reek at this time. Anyway, I've killed.
Reek.
Yeah, that's.
So it's you've,
that
oh my
matter.
God. I'm so. Please don't ask questions, Dusha.
Just
we'll branch off forever.
Yeah. It's a,
is
it's
Reek
a lot.
An Isham or a guy?
No. It's a guy. It's
okay,
a Theon
fine.
Greyjoy.
That's I know that guy.
Yeah. So okay. He's like, he's escaped and, like, you know, your sister anyway. I've killed Stannis. I'm coming for you. You better stay out of the way because you're the Night's Watch and, like, eat my ass. And John is like, none of this. The Night's Watch, we're going to war, and we are actually declaring war on Bolton. And so the Night's Watch have always been like, we're apolitical. And first off, he's letting in the wildlings. So now they're part of the watch, or at least they're, you know, staying here under our protection. And now he wants us to go to war, which is a big no-no. So let's stab him in the back. And they do.
And then... at the end, when he's dead and then alive again, he goes back to the watch. Because that's his eternal punishment or whatever, right?
Oh, you mean the very end of the series?
Yes.
I don't know if he goes back to the watch or just goes north. I don't know.
It's truly unclear.
North Ross, I guess.
Please, Samit, please tell me this game before Dusha asks any more questions.
So, this game takes place a long, long, long time before any of the Game of Thrones series takes place, and before any of the sort of the books have taken place.
So, Game of Thrones is about the Game of Thrones. Should it be called Game of Thrones if it takes place before there's a Game of Thrones, or is there always a Game of Thrones?
Okay.
It's always a Game of Thrones.
So Game of Thrones is a marketing...
wouldn't know it was part of the Game of Thrones universe.
It's called A Song of Fire and Ice. Game of Thrones was the name of the first book.
Can we
that
just
the
mute
HBO
him for
series
a bit?
Then adopted and called the whole series Game
an
of
option?
Thrones.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Are we here? Yeah, maybe.
So it's just a brand name. It's got nothing to do with the actual game.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Like Harry Potter sometimes doesn't have Harry Potter.
I'll stop. You done?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
He's not done.
Yeah.
No, but that doesn't... I get it. I'm there. I'm
do
on the
you?
Same page.
Do
yes.
you understand marketing? You know,
yes.
Another question going to come soon? maybe if you explain it in terms of Coke and Coke Zero, he'll know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So this is set, let's say, 400 years before the Game of Thrones.
Okay, sure.
A Song for Fire and Ice.
Okay, you want to take over?
Fire and Ice. Yeah, I'd mind.
By all means.
What's the game called?
Tale of Crows.
Okay, Tale of Crows. Give me 1 second and I will absolutely take over this review. So it's a phone game. It's available on Apple Arcade. If you're an Apple Arcade member, you don't have to pay anything extra for it.
That's great news
for all you phone heads out there. Game of... Okay, I'm typing on the wrong thing. Let's try this again.
Do we even need to be here? Do you want to go?
Like, I got to make... I'm gonna make dinner. Game.
Yeah,
making a lasagna. It's gonna be pretty good.
Sounds nice. I gotta do some shopping.
All of these are the wrong chicken.
Made the dough this morning. It was pretty nice.
Yeah. Well done.
I think I've got some.
What'd you say it was called? Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Tale of Crows.
Tale of Crows.
Tale, as in T A L E, not T A I L.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
How does Dusha have like five computers he keeps typing on? What's happening there?
I don't know, dude. My soul has left its body.
Okay.
Ooh, there it goes. Yeah.
This is good.
Interesting. So it's set, explores the 8,000 years history of the Night's Watch.
Yeah, I know.
So all the stuff before Jon Snow turns up.
Yeah, like what I was about to say or did you, start saying. Yeah.
You guide the decisions of the Lord Commanders throughout the seasons and mount expeditions beyond the wall.
Yeah, again, I wouldn't have started on that, but that's basically like, yes.
Well, I mean, Dush is just reading a synopsis somewhere. He's not really.
Oh, it's made by Devolver.
Yep. I think. Okay. Yeah, so it is made by Devolver. So it is. It is an idle game. So a lot of the gameplay takes place. You just kind of make choices and those things happen in somewhat real time.
Oh, yeah.
The visual element of the game, it switches between three screens. So you've got one, which is like the map.
Much like me researching this game.
Much like you researching this game. You have a map of like where the wall is and like north of the wall. And then it'll have like little little markers that you can click on and like you can send ranging parties out there. You then have a like an isometric
no questions.
Okay.
I know what isometric means and I know what a real game is.
We've been over isometric a few times. That was last episode, and I think several, like almost a year ago, I had to explain isometric again.
Yeah,
yeah. But when like, you reviewed that other game you like. Yep. What's it called? Yeah.
Nope.
I almost said Risk of Rain. That's not the one I mean.
We don't need to be here.
Don't worry, it doesn't matter.
So, yeah, so an isometric little... we're moving on. Like an isometric, kind of looks like... like Toad's Treasure Tracker, how it's got like a very small section of the world. It sort of looks like that. So it's like an isometric view and it's all like very nicely hand drawn and it's all very, very pretty. And you can kind of see like when you send a message off, like a crow that goes off, an actual crow, not the colloquial term for people of the Night's Watch, but an actual crow. So when you send that off to kind of send messages, you can kind of see it fly off. It's really cool. When you send a raging party out, you'll have a little animation of like the elevator going up the wall as well and doing that. And again, that's quite nice and it's all very, very pretty. And then you have a very a section close up of the wall of Castle Black, and that's where your like notable names, like all the people who are there, who's in your ranging party, like who's kind of note, and what some of their abilities are. Like some are, say, some are berserkers, some are veterans, some have been stained, so they're like, we know what killing some folk is like, so it's sick that we do that. And then, like, if like so certain missions take place in Castle Black, so a lot of this is just making decisions and letting it run. It reminds me either of
being an actual king,
a more complicated Tamagotchi,
or
a very, very slow down version of This Is the Police.
Oh, okay.
So, if you ever played This Is the Police, it's sort of. You know, every morning you woke up and you had little missions that you'd like send your officers out to do and they would either succeed or not. And so it's very similar to that, but like slowed way the hell down. The music is really, really, really good. Like it's just very it really sets the atmosphere for it all. They've put a lot of time and effort into that. It made me really want to play This Is the Police again. So I reinstalled This Is the Police 2 because I never finished it because this game is kind of like, people who enjoyed that aspect of This Is the Police and that sort of game style with people who like Game of Thrones lore. And that, like,
That Venn diagram is Joel Zammit, sorry.
That Venn diagram is me to a T. I don't know. I love hearing about Game of Thrones lore. There's a couple of YouTubers that I guess kind of like put on to help me go to sleep. Alt Shift X is one of them because he's just got a lovely voice.
He really does.
And he just tells me all about like dumb stuff that's happening in Game of Thrones. And I'm like, oh, this is good. Mm. Found out he does a podcast where he just does the whole Game of Thrones series abridged. And I'm like, I'm here for this.
That's great. Yeah.
So like it's very much
maybe wondering where I fall in that Venn diagram and
outside
those circles,
you're not there.
I wasn't gone.
I fall through the middle.
Yeah,
slip through the cracks.
Yeah, no one was wondering. We all knew. No. So
when I played This Is the Police, I set up a sting to get some rats out of my police force, and then I sent two of my best officers, and they got shot by the guy I had set up to kill my rat. I think I killed the most police officers out of any of us at Sans Pants who played This Is the Police. I was by far the worst police chief.
But best gangster.
Yeah, as well, yeah.
The enemy of the cop.
So this takes place, yeah, as Dusha pointed out, like 8,000 years before the events of Game of Thrones and the beginning of The Watch. And so you play it through once, and it's a really nice way, I thought, what they've done, where it's very like kind of cyclical in nature. And every mission or every story chapter is sort of told why, all right, cool, so this is whoever the Lord Commander is, and this is their story, and like, you know, you have choices, whatever. And then it kind of like, then that sort of finishes, and then that kind of comes out, and you're chatting to somebody. You're chatting to someone, like I think it's like a commoner or something like that, at like a tavern. And when you sort of play through this once, then someone else comes through and is like, no, all that was kind of lies. This is sort of what really happened. And then it's like, you know, a lord's tale, as it were. And then they tell you certain things.
Oh, that's,
and
that's even a nice then framing sort of device. Like
saying that because it has been 8,000 years ago, it's all just been lost to time. So the first playthrough, you discover, you know, Castle Black, and there's some weird ice under the, like, you know, the tunnels. So you start digging that out, and it's like, oh, okay, it's gross and pink now. What are you doing? You're like, keep digging, you cowards. And then they're like, there's a dude here. He's asking for you. Do you want to come over and say hi? And then you go there, and he's like, yeah, I'm a magic boy. You need to repeat after me these sort of like magic words because the dead are coming. And so you do that, and that was kind of cool.
Oh, White Walkers.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones.
Well done.
And then like when you play through it once and the Lord who's coming, there's like, ah, yes, those are just these tales that the Watch tell to kind of put themselves up on a pedestal and see that they're doing really great, where in actuality it was just some drunk they found. And then it's kind of like hyped it all up. So that's really cool. The second one is like, kind of, again, all of this is really, really cool if you like Game of Thrones lore. And so the second commander of the Night's Watch, it really delves into that whole idea of there was like a Night King and a Night Queen, and then like the Lord Commander got swayed by this Night Queen and like just ends up corrupting the Watch and then just chuffing up into the north. And so like it's really like interesting, either confirms people's theories or doesn't about Game of Thrones
canon.
Oh,
messes with it, or maybe confirms it. That
or
is
maybe confirms it.
That is
actually interesting, because when things do that, it's usually, well, it's a big deal, and to do that in a phone game is huge.
Powerful,
deal.
Yeah.
I know this because of Star Wars. Every single time that someone in Star Wars is like, "This is canon," everyone's like, "Oh my god!"
So, but Game of Thrones it's also very, very interesting and very cool. Like each kind of playthrough, each kind of chapter. Again, it's a very slow game. It made me really want just to have a This Is the Police style game set in Game of Thrones. I think that'd be a lot more fun, like a bit more fast paced. But that said, like, it was very interesting. It's very well done for what it is. I really like the aspect of it. I'd give this game probably 3 thumbs and a knuck. It is very captivating and nice. Again, I'm only sort of like giving it that particular score because I feel if you did not care about Game of Thrones, why did you download this?
That's on you.
And like the idleness of that game might be a bit like, it's a bit boring.
Yeah.
But I'm downloading it right now as I have Apple Arcade.
Oh, there you go.
Well, all right.
There you go.
I'm excited for Douche's review. That's going to be...
Yeah, me too, actually. But like it's a nice game. You can kind of set people off on missions and then you can check it in whenever you want. So you can kind of like either check it in like later that day or you can kind of watch it and just listen to the crows make sound and the wind around.
Yeah. Great crow noise, bro.
Nice. Great.
Thanks,
well done.
That's
really well done.
We're talking about.
Anyway, the only thing that ages me more than Joel Zammert talking about fantasy games where I don't understand them is Game of Thrones. So, whilst this is set 8,000 years before the Song of Fire and Ice, I have also just aged 8,000 years. Jackson, what have you been playing? Joel Zammert, you're banned from fantasy games next week. I need a break. I played Hades too long and now I broke my wrists holding my Switch or something. That review all allowed.
That's okay.
Jackson.
I've only really been playing games on Twitch. I've only really been streaming games, and then only one day out of the week. The rest of the time, I'm like messing around in Google Street View or reading Goosebumps books because I've currently experiencing what I want to term gamers ennui because I've not been able to properly play a video game by myself.
Like Twilight Princess?
Yeah.
Wii Sports? Gamers ennui?
Well done. Great joke. Great joke. The French term.
I don't know if.
Ennui. For boredom, for a powerful. I've not been able to sit down and play single player a video game for such a long time. I bought Control and I've been trying to play through Control. And Control, it's like I should be into it, but I just can't. Every time I boot it up, I play for like 20 minutes and then I'm like, who cares? I'm like, maybe I'll play The Long Dark. I boot it up for like 20 minutes and I'm like, I'm just not interested. I look through the Steam like library. I look through the Steam store. I'm like, I want to play none of these games. And I just don't know what happened and I want to get my gamer groove back. How do I get my mojo back? How do I get my gamer vibes returning to me? Nothing.
Keep playing multiplayer games with your friends on Twitch until you find one you like.
I guess that's got to be my option. I guess I've got no other choice. But like even single player games, like I'm looking at Cyberpunk 2022 or whatever. It's not called that, but whatever. That's
www.cyberpunk.com/the game.
Yeah, that's the one. And I'm like, it looks fun. All of the trailers for it look nice, but the idea of actually playing it sounds exhausting. Hey, yeah.
Here's a controversial
opinion from Joel Dusha.
Thought. Maybe it doesn't look fun.
Wow, that's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty red hot.
Yeah.
Well, I think I burnt my fingers on such a hot
spicy.
Scorching.
I mean, like, it doesn't look incredible, but I'm like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
There we go. Now my take isn't so spicy. We're all on the same page.
Maybe 10 years ago, I'd have lost my mind over this game, but like, I don't know.
Is it to do with the fact, because I kind of agree with you to an extent when it comes to these sort of certain games, is that they're so big and there's so much you can do and you're just like,
yeah,
it feels like a chore.
Well, I think this.
And
yeah,
I'm with you. Is it just this kind of thing where you're like, maybe you just want a sweet 5-minute game that you can just, you know, do what you need to do, button mash, skip that story and see some credits.
But even that, like, I don't know. Like, if you remember a while ago, I reviewed a game which was like a fun 2D stealth side scroller where you had elemental powers. And that was sick. Yeah. That was like one of the, like so much fun. But I get to a certain point and I'm just like, I don't care. I'm not gonna play that anymore. I don't know what it is. As a kid, you remember you would get a game and you would play it until it was basically rubble? Like you would play it until Tony Hawk Underground, I found glitches in that where there was like a specific glitch you could do where if you went to a wall off your skateboard and jumped, and if you did it just right, you could start grinding up the wall and you could like look in the top of buildings and stuff. Like I was so in depth there, but now the idea of playing a game beyond even Tony Hawk, like the HD remake, I didn't finish that. I just got bored. What's happening to me? Where's
just
my gamer mojo?
Heaps of games.
Well, I think there might be something else, happening in the world.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I don't know what it might be.
Yeah.
Like, we're all confined. Well, not all,
or in jail.
But some of us, especially in Melbourne, we're confined. So there's like an activity that you might do to sort of unwind from the other things that are happening in your life. But because we can't do those things and you really only kind of have like, you know, like what you'd have to be doing normally, like, I get up, I go to work or I get up, I see people, blah, blah, blah. And then later on in the day I can play, you know, but reward myself with a delicious treat of a video game. Now you're like, well, time has lost no meaning. I fell asleep on my Xbox controller.
Yeah, maybe
I care anymore.
Maybe but I don't have video game on Wii. I have video game jail on Wii. Maybe that's what's happening.
Well, you just have life on Wii.
Yeah, very possibly. I'm just
yeah. I was gonna say, how you feeling, Jack?
Fine.
Other aspects of life.
Everything else is right,
motivated to do other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
It's just video gaming, but
it's just video games.
I also
so
think
like reading
about
books and other activities.
I've read
hobbies?
Like 5 books while I've been in video game jail, and I'm craving more. I don't know.
So why don't you just look? Hey, look. Here's a little tip from
I reviewed a book for my last review.
I know. Why don't you just any screen you have, just turn that off and pick up a book and enjoy
I've
yourself
all my
for
books.
A couple weeks. Get a new book.
I guess that will be the solution to being out of books, is to buy a new
God.
Book.
I want to read more books. Hey, Jack, read more books. Oh, I've read all my books. You haven't read all the. What are you talking about? Buy a
hey,
book.
Hey, Jackson.
Yeah.
Do you know how easy it is to get a book? Look. There's a book.
Oh, my
See?
God.
That was so easy.
Damn, dude. Let me try. This no books just off the edge of my Zoom screen. What's happening? How did you do that?
Here's another book.
Oh my God, he's magic.
But what I think about, Samit, is I think about your ability to get sucked in and sucked off by something like Baldur's Gate 3. And I'm so jealous of that ability because even before I was in video game jail, I never had that power. I never had the power to just get that sucked off by a game.
Jackson, you do have that power. It's within you. It just doesn't happen very often. Much like me.
Yeah.
Don't let Joel Zammit be your ideal gamer.
I guess you're right. Maybe my problem is that I'm like, Zammit's the norm. That's not true.
No.
But he's an addict.
Yeah.
Because
most Jackson,
people
before I got sucked off by Baldur's Gate and previously got sucked off by Hades, I kind of, there was no other game that really sucked me off as well. Like I'd sort of play some video games here and there.
Last game was that other game that I couldn't remember the name of at the start of this episode, which feels like a week ago.
Do you mean the game the where
it's
you
two,
the grid?
Two.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what
game,
you're talking
it's a,
about.
It's another RTS. No, not RTS. Whatever you're playing, whatever
isometric. There was isometric. Onward or
Pillars
whatever
of Eternity
it was.
2.
Pillars of Eternity 2 might be what I was thinking of.
But again, like it's a game that I've played, but I never really finished it. I enjoyed it for what it was. And I get what you're talking about, but sometimes I like the idea of these games more than I like
Stardew
the games
Valley,
themselves.
That's one.
Oh yeah,
yeah
true.
Stardew Valley, yeah. Mm. I had a lot of fun with it, but I guess it got to the point where I'm like, well,
yeah, but after 100 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon if you looked at my Steam library, you wouldn't find a game that I'd played for more than 50. Within, like, the last 3 years. Granted, back when I was, like, 23, I played Skyrim to death. Maybe that was the last time I was sucked off by a game.
Well, yeah. Because Jackson,
I
prior to Tony Hawk, the HD re-release, when was the last time I got sucked off by a game?
That's
Maybe
true.
Never.
Maybe you've never been sucked off by a game.
Like Breath of the Wild, probably?
Yeah, you got sucked off by Breath of the Wild.
I put 70 hours into that, finished it, and then played it like 3 times after that, though. So I finished the story and was like, that was me rubbing my hands together, just for everyone who can't see that.
Okay, it just depends on, like, you know, you got to find that kind of right genre and right game. If
that's true.
What you want to do.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe
jerking off and reading books is just for you.
Yeah,
and
maybe
that's the video game that is perfect for everyone. When you,
I've got to take a break from trying to get sucked off by a game and suck off myself. Maybe that's the lesson.
Yes.
Maybe this is self-actualization. Yeah.
When was the last time you sucked yourself off?
I don't think I've sucked myself off in far too long, guys. And I think maybe it's
and
time
this,
I started.
This might be how Jackson gets his groove back.
Yeah. Maybe I suck myself off. And I finally self-actualize. Maybe that's the lesson.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say one thumb for being restless and being pissed off.
One thumb for video game
on
way. Five thumbs for sucking yourself off. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So before we get to our emails, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thank you, sponsors. All right, we got a couple of emails this week. A lot of questions to follow, like follow-up episode questions that I don't remember recording.
Great.
So maybe we can work through these together.
All right.
This one's from Jacob. All right, dickheads. JD, I need to know how far you got on Dead Cells and whether you lost your shit at it. So at that point, reading this email, I was like, Dead Cells.
Did I play it? What the hell is a Dead Cells?
Like, I was like, oh, no, yeah, I played that on Switch. How far did I get? We played it when I was on tour.
You two were sucked off by Dead Cells for a while. I remember that.
I wasn't.
Oh.
You were sucked off by Dead Cells.
I only got into it because of thumb cramps, and I still cannot get to four boss cells. Gave up a few months ago in pure frustration. And at this point in the email, I realized that whilst I may have put a couple of hours into it, I don't think I ever beat any bosses, because four boss cells is a foreign statement to me. Yeah.
That rolls.
I'm not proud to admit that now that Zammit reviewed Hades, I am well and truly addicted to that too. It's really great. Please tell me it's more forgiving than Dead Cells. Keep up the good work. A loyal thumb crampian, Jacob.
Okay, so in comparison to Hades and Dead Cells, so this is like comparing, say, a delicious meal that I've eaten and one I've barely heard of, so I can't help you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think we can compare them because neither Zammit nor Dusha remember Dead Cells.
I remember it a little bit. Like, I remember that you get two abilities and it's randomized, and as you unlock new abilities, the chances of them being randomized at the start appear. Or maybe you can select them, but you can only unlock them randomly to select them at the start. And then you power through the game. Tom Walker had to maybe sell his Switch because he was playing it too much.
Oh, that does sound familiar, actually.
Hades is a game that I know lots and lots and lots and lots of people love. And, like, hey, Dead Cells people love too. I haven't played Hades yet because I'm a bit frightened of it. And Dead Cells maybe I'll play again because I'm worried that I have maybe memory loss.
That's but, fair.
Hey, yeah.
Putting down a game for a couple of months because you've cracked the gamer shits is something that I respect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes that is the only way to get more powerful at a game, Jacob. So I recommend, hey, give it another crack. If it still makes you angry, guess what? You can delete it. The game can't delete you. You will always win, Jacob.
You can throw it in the bin, dude. You can throw your Switch in a furnace. You can do whatever you like in this life.
You know how, like, a human being most of the time shits in a toilet? You can put your Switch in there and then still shit in the toilet.
You can
win.
Shit on the floor. Yeah. You can do anything.
It won't go down, and it'll be a constant reminder that your Switch is in the toilet, but
you can do it. You can shit on your Switch when you go to the toilet and flush. Yeah. It won't be good, but you can do it. And that's the power of being a human being.
Our next email is what is now a thumb cramps emailer tradition to be like, hey, Jackson, here's a survival game. Have you played it? Why haven't you spoken about it? Here's a reason why.
I've got Ennui, didn't you hear?
So this is from Woody.
All right. The doll?
Hey, thumb cramps, boys, girls, people.
Yeah.
Have any... Oh, my God. Have any of you guys met my owner, Andy? Oh!
I'm jealous of Buzz Lightyear. What do you recommend?
But I'm a cowboy.
It's 1995. I'm Pixar's first foray into... Not first. Second foray into CGI.
First, you were right the first time. Have any of you played Ark Survival Evolved? Me and my partner started playing it recently, and while you die a lot, it's actually really good. And I want you to remember that phrase, it's actually really good, because that will come back in at the end of the email. With most survival-type games, building stuff takes time, but friends, I'm here to tell you that taking the time to learn how to make a shotgun and then gathering the resources to build a shotgun and then killing a dinosaur with said shotgun, a million thumbs. Game of the year for that feeling. The game itself, maybe three thumbs. So, remember that statement I told you to remember?
It's actually really good.
I forgot.
Really, it's actually really good. Three thumbs.
Yeah, that doesn't sound really good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that phrase doesn't ring any bells.
No.
It's like it's gone away with Dead Cells for me. Just in one ear, out the other.
Anyway, what survival games do you love? I'm going to go kill a raptor with a shotgun. Take that silence. Take that science with love, Woody.
So, that's good, Woody.
I don't know if you've heard, Woody, but here on Thumb Cramps, there is one person here who, despite just claiming he's never been sucked off by a game recently, played the long dark so long that maybe the dark isn't actually that dark
the
anymore.
Short
it's
dark.
Light. I don't know what I'm trying to say. The point is,
yeah,
the long dark is probably Jackson's favorite survival game.
Absolutely. But the reason I like The Long Dark as opposed to a game like Ark is that The Long Dark is about surviving. But I find games like Ark and games like Raft and games like the Island Stranded, I don't know. It's all like gather resources and then build a house. And that's just not the kind of survival that I'm into. I want to feel like I'm actually surviving. I don't want to feel like I'm starting
a
small community. I don't know. I feel like if I'm in a survival situation in real life, my first thought isn't like, time to build a condo, baby. My first thought is like, I hope I don't die from starvation. And that's the feeling that I want to get in a survival game. But I feel like I wouldn't get an Ark. But I do know in Ark that you can kill dodos. And that's pretty cool. Because then I could pretend I'm a Dutch settler. You know? Sick my dogs and an endangered bird. So look, maybe one day I'll play Ark. I'm sure it'd be a laugh. It'd be a laugh with some friends, I'm sure.
Yeah. And if you have an email or a question or something you want to send into Thumb Cramps, please email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. They both have the same name. One's on Twitter, one's an email. We're geniuses. today's total thumb score comes to... I gave 4 thumbs. Jackson, Zamet, you gave 3 thumbs and a knock. Jackson gave both 5 thumbs and 1 thumb.
Mm-hmm.
That brings today's total to, let's say 15 thumbs.
Yeah, 15. Yeah, an even right. 15.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel.
And everyone, keep your thumbs where I can see them. And this episode is going to sound like dog shit at points because Jackson Bailey has terrible internet at the moment. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.